Hello, everyone, and welcome back to today's episode where we are talking about manifestation.
Manifestation is the idea that we're capable of creating our reality through our thoughts and feelings. It's also known as the law of attraction. There are many different techniques for manifesting your goals and the life that you want, and in this podcast, we'll be talking about some of our favorites.
All right.
We're a little rusty right now.
Yeah.
It's after the holidays. We're getting our feet wet again. So, do you guys have any like daily manifestation rituals or weekly, or do you do things with moon cycles?
I try to practice gratitude. Yeah. As often as I remember, maybe not daily, like I don't journal it as often as I should. Mm-hmm. But just taking time to be grateful for what I do have, for what I would like to draw in as well. It's often said that gratitude has a very powerful frequency in that it can draw in more of what you are grateful for. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful tool to use in manifestation for drawing in what you want.
Yeah, I love that. It's something that I use too, is present gratitude. And then gratitude for the things that I want, mm-hmm. or I'm desiring, as if they're already here. So like through my thank yous or my gratitude, I say thank you for, and then whatever it is I'm wanting to manifest, like as if it's here already. And that opens that quantum field for it to have full permission to come into being. So I love that.
Yeah. Act as if is also a common concept in manifestation. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with The Secret, the book, and the subsequent film that came out. And they often talked about act as if you already have the thing that you're wishing to manifest. Act as if you already possess, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to draw in. And I don't think that's necessarily faking it. I mean, maybe fake it till you make it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily lying to yourself. It's just putting out the energy of what you want so that you're in alignment with that thing.
Yeah. And you said a really key word, alignment, because mm-hmm. you cannot, at least in my experience, manifestation does not work without a sense of alignment. So the alignment would have to be, okay, you know, I just as an example, I want to lose 10 pounds, just, you know, something surface. I want to lose 10 pounds, but the alignment would have to be, well, am I thinking that way? Am I eating that way? What am I consuming through my, you know, what other weights besides my physical body do I need to release? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's like, wishing for, to use your example, to lose 10 pounds or whatever, but then looking in the mirror and saying, oh, I need to lose this weight. I'm so fat.
Yeah.
I hate how the way I look, you know, I'm hideous or whatever.
Right.
That's taking you out of alignment with right. what is, for some people, considered a positive goal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the universe doesn't really know the difference between yes and no, right? Positive and negative. It just knows you're thinking about what you don't like. So that must mean you want more of that because you're putting so much focus on this one thing. So, okay, we'll keep giving you more of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So instead, focus on the actual energy of the thing that you do want and yeah. not what you want to get rid of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we're talking about like physical attributes, I remember growing up thinking, how is it possible that all of the most arrogant people I know are also some of the most physically mainstream attractive? Like, are they arrogant because they're attractive, or are they attractive because they think that they're attractive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what they're projecting or what
yeah.
people perceive from them is maybe arrogance, but really it's, we don't know how hard they worked within them to
True.
Get to that place,
yeah.
right? So
I remember seeing a documentary about like people manifesting like sexual energy or manifesting like the divine feminine energy. And someone had mentioned, I don't know if it was actually a documentary or not, but someone had mentioned Marilyn Monroe and how different she was when she was in public with people, how she put off like a very specific type of energy mm-hmm. that automatically attracted people to her. And so I always thought that was very fascinating, because you can usually tell, like, certain people just energetically have that certain part of themselves. And I remember on this thing that I was watching where she was like, watch, I'll step into my role as Marilyn Monroe and you will see how much of a difference this is. Hmm. And I always thought that was very fascinating because it's like an energy that she had put out to have people that were looking at her in a way where they found her beauty. And so in my opinion, that's like a form of manifestation where she was manifesting that energy to get attraction.
And that makes a lot of sense, because wasn't she technically a genius?
I don't know.
I think she was.
I wouldn't doubt it. Her IQ was,
yeah, she did some sort of IQ thing. Yeah. And so she was kind of like, you know, she gave off this public persona, but in like her downtime, out of, you know, away from the public, she had a IQ in, I don't know, the high hundreds.
Yeah, I've heard that too, that story that you just said, Kelly, where she was walking down the street with some friend of hers, and she was just her normal self, her normal Norma Jean self. She didn't have the Marilyn Monroe persona because she was kind of off the clock or whatever. And she asked her friend, she said, do you want to see me become her? And he's like, yeah, let's see it. And so she put on the Marilyn Monroe persona, which changed the way that she held herself, her posture, her gait, you know, the energy basically around her. And people like swarmed to her. They recognized her finally. She was walking like down the street in New York and people didn't recognize her. This was at like the height of her fame, according to this story that this friend of hers was relaying. And as soon as she made that shift, you know, she didn't change her hair, she didn't change her clothes, she just changed the energy around her.
Yeah,
suddenly people picked up on that, that this is, oh my gosh, this is a star. And so that, I think, is what you were talking about, is coming into alignment with that thing that you want. It could be as easy as a, you know, flipping a switch.
Right.
A subtle shift.
So we're talking manifestation, alignment, and embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like becoming the thing, you know, like your cells are listening to everything that you're turning that switch on. Like it, just like you were saying before, the universal field, it's impersonal. It just gives you what frequency you're embodying. So that's fascinating.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who's constantly saying, oh, you know, just my luck, or fuck my life, or, you know,
I knew that was going to
happen. Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. Of course. Well, another thing.
This always happens to me.
Yeah, this always happens to me. Then, yeah, the universe is going to be like, oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Well, you want some more of that.
You want some.
Okay.
You seem to really like talking about it, so I'm going to give it to you. Instead, I know there's like this lucky girl syndrome that's going around on TikTok, which I don't watch. I watch TikTok on other platforms, like an adult.
Elder millennial.
I watch TikTok on Reddit. Thank you very much. No offense. I'm just messing. But
no,
there's
TikTok is terrible. I mean, no, it's not China.
It's a valuable
resource.
It has its value. Anyway, so there's this thing going around called lucky girl syndrome, which is basically just the law of attraction wrapped up differently. And it basically has specifically young women believing that they are lucky and that good things are meant to happen to them, are supposed to happen to them, not supposed to, but do happen to them. Because it's all just the way that you view your life. So instead of saying like, oh, you know, just my luck or fuck my life or whatever, you think, no, I'm very lucky. Lucky things happen to me all the time. My life is amazing or whatever. It's just a way of conceptualizing your life in a positive light so that you can receive those things that you want.
Yeah.
Well, and we kind of built a culture around that. I mean, with television and everything, if you think about, you know, this is their explanation, not mine, basic bitches. You know, like they have this very specific persona that they're projecting. But then there's this whole culture around that where they're expected, you know, to get their drinks paid for or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's entitlement. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, we think of it as entitlement. But, you know, where is the line where they're actually manifesting that by tapping into that frequency? Like they're having the Marilyn Monroe, you know, kind of the action take place by being in that specific frequency. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of it has to do with entitlement, but you could probably, you know, there's probably a social experiment out there where they've taken someone who isn't like that and mm-hmm. put them in that scenario, and they've, you know, had the same similar result. So yeah, I don't know where I was going.
Yeah,
if
they are actually manifesting that in an ethical way, then good for them. Mm-hmm.
Get yeah, your that's bag, the girl. Thing. Yeah, ethics. Like we can look yeah. at it from the outside and be like, oh, you know, like, oh, that's entitlement. That's gross. That's being, you know, they're just taking advantage of something. But I don't know that anybody who was in that situation and was, you know, seeing that result, you know, that's probably what perpetuates it, is that there's this continuation of it, that because it is successful in a certain form.
Yeah. And there is something to be said with being clear with your intentions. Like, you know, if you want to come into a bunch of money, I think it's important to be clear about how you want to come into money, through hard work, mm-hmm. through your career, through things like that, and not through like a loved one dying and you inheriting their money.
Right.
You know, that's sure. that's maybe not the way that you intended.
Yeah.
Well, end result.
Absolutely. About those. We can say, I want to manifest abundance, or I am mm-hmm. What kind of abundance? Abundance yeah. of what?
Do you want like a settlement from a horrible accident?
Right.
That leaves you, you know, disabled or whatever for the rest of your life?
Right.
No. Or do you want you know, somebody to take care of you financially, but they're incredibly abusive?
Right.
You know, I think clarity is very important.
Definitely.
When manifesting. And mm-hmm. I think the more clear you can be, the better.
Yeah.
Reminds me of The Craft. In the Craft, she's like, it's always going wrong. I would wish for it to rain and a pipe would burst and my room would get flooded. Or
right. Well, if you yeah. know, if you know magic, you know how important yeah, yeah. intention, yeah. Say, yeah, intention was, and clarity is.
Throughout history, we've always heard the horror stories of, mm-hmm. you know,
tricky spirits.
Yeah. Magic gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the genie in the bottle, you wish for something, but and you get it, but it's not anything what you expected.
Right. Right.
Well, and you guys had mentioned something earlier about embodiment, and I thought that was a very interesting, like, thought-provoking statement, because of the fact that I think about a lot about how when I was, like, starting up my business and how working with manifestation on starting up my business, it was almost like a birthing process, mm-hmm. where it's like you could feel, like, the idea almost, like, in the sense, like, impregnating you, and like you're ready to like birth that product or project, and then you're kind of like slowly coming into alignment with it, and it's like you just wait for that right moment to birth that. Mm-hmm. And so I remember very early on, it was like I would have the project in my mind and I could feel it building and building and building, and I could feel that I was going to open my center, and I could feel it starting to manifest. And then I would do just little things to start that manifestation. So one of them was I would just go around and just buy little things. Like I'd go get a massage table, or mm-hmm. I would go get like a piece of furniture I could put in there, or even something smaller if I couldn't afford those, like just maybe a bottle for lotion, or, you know, just little stuff here and there. And it would always be placed in my attention of creating my own business. And so as I just slowly started chipping away at that, I could feel it building that energy and getting ready to manifest that energy, to the point where it was like, I remember looking for buildings, and I was looking for like a couple years, like just different buildings. And it was like, you know, there was always something about the building that I was like, no, that doesn't feel right. And, you know, just little things here and there, either they were asking too much money, or it just wasn't the proper layout, or it just wouldn't work, or something had happened where, you know, maybe I was humoring the idea of possibly doing business partnerships, and that would just fall through. And it was like, well, maybe I'm like looking in the wrong direction. And I remember just randomly one day seeing an ad and being like, you know, I'm not even going to contact anybody. I'm just going to go down there and I'm going to look at it. And I'm not going to try to go inside or anything like that because I'm tired of like scheduling appointments to like go look at a property and then just not even like the outside of it. And then I still have to go in and be like, okay, I'll contact you later. And I remember the process of like just walking outside. I'm like, you know, this is a great property for what I'm looking for. If only maybe it was a little bit bigger or had like the space next door for rent. And I started walking and the space next door was for rent too. So I ended up renting both buildings at the same time. Like I had no idea how I was going to get this going. I had no idea like financially how I was going to get this going, but I trusted the process with it. Now it wasn't that I was like, you know, diving into the deep end, like, oh, $4,000 a month. I could afford that on my $1,500 a month paycheck. You know, it was nothing like that. But it was more so everything that was logically meant to fall into place did at that moment because I could feel it ready to be birthed. Mm-hmm. And so with that manifestation, it was like I was building that energy so much that it's like, yes, this is it. And it was like a screaming, yes, do this and don't even think about all the other stuff. Because I think if I just sat and like overthought everything, I would have tucked myself out of it.
Yeah.
And been like, no, I'm not doing that. Because I think for me, it was like, I mean, I'm not the type of person to make very big financial risks. And so for me, it was like, I can't believe I did that. Like, even like, I've been open for 6 years now, and I look back on it, and I'm like, I just jumped in with both feet, and like, how the hell did I even do that without even like thinking twice about it? It was like, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah.
And it just unfolded. There was never a time, knock on wood, that had ever came up to where I wasn't able to afford rent. I wasn't able to support myself. It was always in some way able to take care of me. Now, there's been times where it's like, you know, money gets a little tight and you get a little nervous because you're like, okay, tourist season is a little slow right now. I'm getting a little nervous about my paychecks. But it's never been to where it was like I had to figure out how to take care of things. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as a business owner because you almost have to surrender to manifestation because you can't control it. Because if you control it and you worry about it, you block it. Mm-hmm. And you just have to just go with the flow. But you can't be so relaxed that it just dies off. So it's like a balance that you have to find with manifestation where it's like, how do I build it up and maintain it without overly pushing myself through things and making it kind of die off completely or, you know, not doing enough and then making it die off. So it's a very interesting balance with owning a business and also just manifesting a business. So it was always interesting. And then the embodiment part kind of made me think of that because it is almost like a energetic birthing process. Yeah. You go through.
Well, and you brought up something that I was going to say earlier, this that the alignment of you know, like faking it till you make it, that sounds a lot easier than it really is, because you know, when you get something like stress in there, or you know, you get that fear that's in there, if it, you know, has to do with your livelihood or something like that, becomes incredibly difficult to get your, we're so trained to like stay in that fear resonance. And so, you know, to look at your bills and be like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to afford all this, and to take that stress and then somehow flip it around and be like, everything's fine. I, you know, I can pay all this, or I have paid all this, or I do pay all this, and I have enough. And to attract that is so difficult.
Oh, it's hard because it's surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's shifting from, You are actively, I love your story, by the way. It's really inspirational. A lot of people, I think, can learn from that, you know, just being it. But what you're doing and what Matt was kind of saying with what you were saying is you're shifting from poverty consciousness to mm-hmm. abundance consciousness, you know? Mm-hmm. So instead of focusing on all the, like I talk to my clients about, not a financial advisor, by the way, but I talk to my clients about their relationship with money, with prosperity. And if we look at the bills that are coming in and looking at the money that's going out, we're just in the energy of lack. Mm. But instead, watch the money that's going out creating capacity for more abundance to come in. So focus on the capacity rather than what's leaving. And so another thing I wanted to say with your story was, it's like you have been building this garden this whole time, like with all these little seeds that you kept planting, and you weren't digging the seed up every 5 minutes saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like, you gave it the time to gestate and to manifest. And I just love that. I love your story.
And I think, and for those that are listening and possibly, you know, being like, oh, well, maybe I should just jump into that. And that's really not what it is. It's about feeling when it's the right moment.
Yeah.
Because it's going to scream at you. And it's going to be like, nothing else in the world matters except for that at that moment. And it's not a level of like obsession where it's like an ego thing. It's like a pulling that pulls you to it. And that's when you know that that's the right time to do whatever it is that you're trying to manifest. And so for me, although I say, you know, I had no idea, like, a lot of times how I was even paying bills, because it was just, it'd be like a random person comes in, they blow like $1,000 in a day. And it's like, okay, well, I don't even know how I manifest that. Or I like leave for an entire month and then all of a sudden it's like boom, 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 package. Someone's ordering this, someone's ordering that, someone's doing sound healing sessions, and it just flows in. And it's like, okay, well, I have no idea how that even got here, but it has gotten here. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I haven't needed to like tweak my business. My business has shifted so much over time. My initial vision and plan of it never fully manifested, but I was able to feel the energy as the energy was unfolding and being like, okay, I need to tweak this here and shift this here. Like, because I had opened right before COVID. And so it's like I had to then shut down for 6 months because of mandatory shutdown and then figure things out. It was like I was barely open a year at that point. And it's like, you know, anyone that has owned a business, they know that that's devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that point when you were that new in a business to have to shut down for 6 months, had I not gotten creative with it, I would have completely lost the business. But I had to get creative and flow with how the energy is shifting. And surprisingly, I ended up making more money than I have ever made in that business during that time because I was able to shift to what the business needed and then be able to shift it back out and just learning how the energy's flowing and start to naturally adjust that energy and not hold on to, oh, well, this was my initial plan. It has to stay this plan because that was my vision.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn and grow with it because with manifestation, sometimes what you think is right isn't going to always be what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to feel where that energy is allowing you to manifest, because you might be trying to manifest like the perfect partner and it might be like someone that maybe isn't good for you. And you're like, well, they have to be my perfect partner. Let me manifest them. And the universe is like, no.
Yeah.
Like, clear that out. That's not your perfect partner. And once you stop trying to manifest them as your partner, you'll have the right partner come into your life.
Yeah.
Well, if a business is anything like being human, how often do we actually know what we need as opposed to what we think we want?
Never.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Unless you're really always in self-awareness and really conscious all the time. And most of us aren't.
Yeah.
So you have to take, yeah, you have to think of your business like an entity. You know, it you have to feed it and care for it in the way that it needs to be fed and cared for, or else, you know, it's going to suffer or die. So,
well, and how much of that, especially if you're thinking about it in like terms of relationships, how much of that is you projecting your expectations on it as opposed to how much of it is actually what you're able to manifest?
Mm-hmm.
How much is it like our expectations? Like, had I come in there projecting my expectations on the business, I think the business would have suffered.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that I am holding on to one idea and it's not allowing it to manifest because that was never meant to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was one of my mentors in Scottsdale that I worked for a few years. He would always say, you know, this was never the plan. And he was one of the most successful people I've ever met in my life, just spiritually, physically, and, you know, in worldly ways as well, but he would always say that this was never the plan, and he had put, you know, everything that he had into his business, and then the crash in 2008 happened. And he just, same thing, he had to just kind of go with the flow and go with what was needed, and he found that people had a, they still wanted to have nice things for Christmas. So that's what he focused on. He focused on the holidays, and he became one of the largest Christmas installation, custom installation interior design places in Scottsdale. But that was never the plan. And he still got to do all the other things that he intended to, but it just, you know, now he has to do this other thing on top of that. So that was really, I don't know, he was a great teacher. Good lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sounds like flexibility is really important mm-hmm. with manifestation. And also something Kelly mentioned, trusting the process, trusting the universe, that it really does sound like you birthed like an actual entity, like a thing, you know, almost like a child. And this child, you may have had expectations of what it would grow up to be, but instead you kind of saw it going its own independent direction, and you allowed it, you trusted it to do what it needed to do, you know, with minor guidance and tweaks from your end, of course, and it became what it is today. I think that's really important, because if we try to change things to fit a narrow view of what we want, we might not end up getting what we want in the end anyway. I mean, yeah. We might, but it might be a disaster. It might be disastrous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess it would be balance, because sometimes, you know, being unflinching in your vision or direction, that does work for some people. I don't have any specific examples, but I mean, I imagine that would work for someone somewhere.
I'm sure the people at the top can adapt, though, to curveballs.
Yeah.
Do you think Elon Musk manifests?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good question.
I think so. I mean, it's almost like he has this, and I don't know much about him, but he puts off this energy of whatever he's wanting or creating or manufacturing, it is the best of the best, and it's not less than anything. So it's that embodiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that sense too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anytime that I see him speak, he just looks like he's like just absorbing an insane amount of information, and he's like crunching numbers.
Yeah.
And you know,
he's like downloads.
Yeah. He's just downloading all this stuff and forming it into his will, maybe, or, you know, I don't know that they're literal numbers, but just all the information, universal information, is flowing into him, and he's just digesting it.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about maybe some other techniques you guys might employ. Do you do vision boards? Any of you?
I've never really been big on vision boards, but I've had multiple practitioners and clients say that they work wonders for them. So maybe I should try it.
I've known a lot of people throughout the years who have been diligent in vision boards, or even utilizing like small visual stimuli, like in their cars.
Yeah, like a cue, something that reminds them of either their purpose or their goal or whatever. It could be like seated affirmations or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, just something that reminds you to stay, you know, within whatever frequency you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I worked with a woman who, she gave me a ride once, and she's like, please excuse my car, because she had probably like 15 or 20 sticky notes, all with these different things on each one, all multicolored, just stuck all over her dashboard.
That's awesome.
And
were they affirmations or?
you know, I was trying not to be, you know, I was trying to be respectful and not like, you know, pick apart each one. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think so. I think there were affirmations, but also like goals and or things, yeah, things to work on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she was very successful and very high energy. And, you know, I still see her on Facebook doing things today. So, you know, there's something to it.
Yeah, I think it definitely helps, especially if you are a visual person. Or if you just need reminders, helps to have something, you know, on hand.
Yeah.
Something that's inspiring. I personally do a digital vision board. So, I'll, like, on Pinterest, I have, like, a secret board.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's for my eyes only. Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, if it's kind of out in the open, it's kind of like with magic. You know, you do your whatever you need to do, and then you don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Which manifestation is kind of similar. I feel like you know, you set the goal, you set the intention, and then you leave it alone and let it take seed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I do with the vision board. I just kind of look at it. I should probably look at it more often, honestly. I think the more you look at it, the more you charge it, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So
my whole Pinterest is kind of magic related.
Mine is too. Yeah. But I mean, I also Mine's have like business. I also have like fashion and hair and shit, you know, just like
I don't have a Pinterest.
The regular stuff. But the hidden ones are the ones that are specifically like for me, and you know, like my vision board has photos or affirmations, words, things like that. You know, whatever. I know what each of them means. I don't have to like explain it to myself like I would if I had it up somewhere.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to reprogram the subconscious, mm-hmm. even if you're not actively looking at the sticky notes or looking at the vision board. When you walk by it, when you sit in the car, when you see it, it's in your subconscious. Your subconscious is recording that information. And so you're literally creating a new software system in your brain to be a supportive template of the reality that you're wanting to manifest.
Well,
and
that was
so powerful.
That was something that you touched on really briefly, was that in magical tradition, it was to forget about it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's huge in any form of sigil magic specifically.
Mm-hmm.
When you create it, a lot of times you either destroy it, burn it, bury it, or you put it away. But the idea is to, you know, get it into your subconscious through an altered state or meditative state or just some sort of other operating state that you would be in, to have it seat in your subconscious and then not look at it again. And I think that's really interesting, is to put all this energy and intention into something, and then, you know, part of your job is to purposely forget about it.
Yeah. Well, I have a sigil. And I have this little cash box in my house. I may have talked about this before. That's in the money corner in my home, mm-hmm. according to whatever feng shui. And I keep like actual money there. Just kidding. I don't have any money. Don't come to my house.
It's Monopoly money.
It's a Monopoly
money.
Yeah,
we won't dox you.
Exactly. No. I'm acting as if.
Yeah. Tons and millions of dollars in Monopoly money.
Yes. So anyway, in that cash box, I have like crystals and things in there that remind me of like abundance and wealth and whatever. But I have a sigil in there too. And I don't often think about that sigil until I go to put money in there. Mm. You know, I just put money in there whenever I remember, whenever I get cash. And it's always money that I earn. It's not like money that my dad gave me for gas or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, I feel like the energy has to be something that I actually worked for.
Yeah. Wow.
So I put that in there, and then I'm reminded of that sigil, and I always thank the sigil, and I feel like I recharge it every time I look at it.
Nice.
And then I just put it back and I leave it alone.
I love
that. I was just
that.
Reading about sigils. It's mm-hmm. funny. No.
Cool.
Makes
I didn't
sense.
I didn't know that. I just kind of do it intuitively.
Yeah, so you're supposed to forget about it. But then there are, well, it depends on your practice, but there are times where you could take it out and just, you know, remind yourself of it.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on which avenue you're going with it, sometimes they have people like use it as a bookmark or something. So when you go back to that book, like you see it, but then you close the book, you don't think about the sigil again, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah, that's a great practice.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking a sigil and money money area, especially. Yeah. I think everybody would like to manifest more money, right?
So speaking of money box, money drawer, whatever, years and years ago when I worked for a awesome little metaphysical shop in Phoenix, the owner taught me through feng shui to turn anybody who has a cash register, turn the bills upside down. So when you're receiving the money, put the money in upside down so the back of the bill is facing up. Hmm. And that's the energy of bringing more money in. Whereas if it's face up, it's money is going out. Leaving. So anybody listening to this, turn all your bills upside down.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never heard that. That's so cool.
Yeah. And so, it worked.
Yeah. I don't know if it, maybe it has. I started doing it at work.
Yeah. Nice.
on the altar at work.
Yeah. I do it too. When I give like an offering to something, I always put the money upside down to bring the money to
it. Now I'm wondering if I should turn all my bills upside down.
Try it.
Yeah. I had never heard that either until she mentioned it when we were at work. And so now I can't stop thinking about it. I do it all the time everywhere.
Sorry. Were you fine going through the cash register and every dollar bill, you're like, upside down. I was finding myself doing that.
Well, I already have to have it, you know, and like, small to large and all facing the same direction, same. You know, so might as well have it, you know, one more thing to add to that.
Yeah.
So what other techniques? There's mantra. There's sex magic. If we want to go there.
Sex magic. Yeah, let's talk about that.
So our sexual energy is our most powerful. We have the ability to create life with it. So why can't we create other things with it when we're not, you know, trying to make babies, right? So
we do. We just only associate it with that avenue.
Yeah. So a technique that I have learned is if you're aware of your chakra system, the main energy centers within the body, you can activate. Now we're going a little left field, guys. So, you can activate your sexual energy at the root chakra. You can feel the sensation of that, the arousal or the excitement, and keeping the vision of what you're wanting to manifest in your third eye as you're building that sensual and sexual energy. And you don't actually have to orgasm, but you can bring all of that energy up into the third eye and then visualize the actualization of what you're wanting to manifest. The orgasm makes it more powerful because it is this massive electromagnetic field that just bursts out, right? So instead of channeling the orgasm out of the root chakra just for pleasure, which is wonderful, but also bringing the intention, the vision up through your shushumna, through the chakras, and then visualizing, I want Mother Earth to heal through that orgasm, or I want, you know, this business to grow, or I want my relationship to heal, or I want to love myself deeper, like using that sexually creative, powerful energy, channeling it upwards, up towards the heavens is a really powerful practice.
I heard people using also like certain types of runes or sigils also help with that. Where like they might carve it on certain items that they are using.
Forehead.
right at the point of, you know.
Wow.
No, I've literally read that in the Necronomicon.
Carving
or,
it?
No, the Necronomicon spellbook or whatever, the adjoining. Yeah, no, not carving it, okay. But like drawing
still,
drawing a sigil and placing it on your lover's forehead at the point of climax. I'm not even kidding.
No, that makes sense.
Totally. So I think that's sense. Is that what you're getting at, kind of?
You could do it on that or toys or anything else.
Ooh, toys.
Yoni eggs, I hear, is like popular for doing that. Like you can kind of carve in.
Or you could draw it in with lube. Draw your sigil on your
I'm constantly edging towards manifesting.
So that's that was one thing that I was just about to say, is that is a big trend right now that I've heard on, because we were listening to some other podcast and they were talking about edging, how edging is super trendy right now. And so that got me thinking.
How like, frustrating.
Yeah, like, okay, but
at what end? What's the goal?
Well,
is it like a sex magic or is it just a
I think it's just a trendy thing, but I think it's going to have some interesting results for people because of that reason.
Yeah.
Right. What are they thinking of?
Yeah.
When you just build it and don't expel it right away, it's building and building and building that energy, that intention, right, and that magnetic field.
Isn't that raising the Christ oil?
Yeah.
Essentially, without orgasming, without spilling the seed, that's what's supposed to raise the Christ oil, which is a whole nother topic.
I love it.
Dense.
Well, yeah. Well, there's, I mean, the whole tantric side of it, Kundalini,
mm-hmm,
but also there are different Eastern traditions where, I mean, even in the Bible, I think it says not to spill the seed or something
during whenever the moon, or is it the moon or the sun, is in your astrological sign.
Oh, I need to know this.
It's the moon. It's the moon. So it's this is raising the Christ oil. This is totally off tangent, but it's whenever
still relevant.
Whenever the moon is in your specific astrological sign, which it is every month for like 3 days, three-ish days, you're supposed to abstain from spilling your seed, and you're supposed to keep your body alkaline. So, you know, fasting is a good way to do that, not smoking, drinking, or eating heavy foods like meat or whatever. And you're supposed to meditate and focus on bringing up that creative, regenerative energy, that force from your Kundalini up to your... the land of milk and honey, apparently. Not the crown chakra. Oh. It's a point in your brain. It's like
the
part of your
gland?
No, it's part of your ventricles. It's like the dura mater or something like that. I don't remember from craniosacral.
That is fascinating.
But you bring it up there and it activates something. I don't know. It's so crazy, but it's a form of manifestation.
I'm definitely going to look into that, because that's amazing. I'm all about the moon.
Yeah,
the moon
look up. I think it's Christos Bonacci. He talks about the Christ oil a lot. He's really,
text
really fascinating. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it goes. You know, we all have the spectrum of each of the understandings for like, you know, those traditions. But I've heard of one where the men associate the life-giving or life force with, you know, their seed. So anytime that they expel that, they feel like it's giving away their power, but also shortening their lifespan.
So yes, according to traditional Chinese medicine, yes.
Okay.
They 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
In traditional Chinese medicine, I believe Kelly can back me up on this, the kidneys store jing, vital essence. This is your life force energy, and it's finite. So whatever you have, whatever you're born with is what you get.
Yeah.
And your lifestyle factors, the way you live your life, whatever, can deplete it, but you can never really bring it back up.
Right.
And they believe that the sexual energy is also stored in the kidneys for some reason. So by depleting sexual energy, it depletes your jing, your life.
Yeah.
So if you're chronically masturbating in traditional Chinese medicine, if you're spilling that seed, they believe it could potentially shorten your lifespan.
Which we've kind of proved to be false with modern medicine. I mean, just by the, you know, metabolic, studying the metabolism.
Yeah, I'm not saying I believe that. It's that's
masturbation is healthy.
It is. It's
but I totally understand.
Yeah.
But if you want to take it to the next level, hold it in. Edge.
Yeah.
Be an edgelord.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
And manifest your dreams.
Yeah.
So that's our podcast.
Manifestation and sex magic. Well, you know, it's something that is kind of like hot off the press. There's a lot of people talking about sex magic, and I think it's important that people are talking about it and taking the energy of shame away from sexual energy, because we are taught shame. We are not born into shame. You know, we are not born shame, you know, we learn it and it's passed down. And so I think it's wonderful that we're talking about this, because we're breaking generational cycles.
That's very important.
Yeah.
I was just thinking again, funny that we're talking about this. I was just thinking about shame as a vibration. And so I was trying to think of where that vibration would be useful in any other setting other than culturally. Like, yeah, like shame is necessary, you know, because it's going to impede certain people from doing certain things.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like in your personal life, where is that a benefit? Like, fear has a benefit. You know, we all have fear. That energy, that vibration can be beneficial. You know, it's ancient, it's necessary, but shame doesn't seem to be that way.
Yeah. So we can't really manifest if we're in that lower vibration of operating from unworthiness. I'm not worthy of this. We have to really, here comes the embodiment again. We have to embody the actual energy and frequency that we're wanting to manifest, and we have to clear the unnecessary guilt and shame and the feeling of lack and unworthiness. And you know, the feeling of unworthiness is ripe with like light workers and way showers and grid keepers. Like, some of the most powerful men and women that I have met have always had to overcome this massive step of I don't feel good enough, or this imposter syndrome, you know? So I think that's a good thing to add with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. I think it would negate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those negative feelings.
It's like giving the universal field.
It's like you're asking for it, but you don't really think
I want it, but can I? Get off the fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's Greg Braden. He's an author. Mm-hmm. He says that you should marry the thought with the feeling and you'll move mountains.
Mm. Mm.
So if the thought is the thing that you want to manifest, you have to feel it. You have to believe it. You have to embody it. You have to really, in your core, not just believe that you'll get it, but feel as if you already have it.
Yeah.
Well, like Kelly was saying, she had to go through this like birthing process. So that means like internally holding it within you and letting it grow until it's ready to be birthed into this reality. So mm-hmm. we have to, you know, align and embody in order to create. Manifestation isn't, you know, I think it's easy to get it fall into the trap that, you know, manifestation is external, but it's all internal. The external is
as above, so below; as within, so without.
Yeah,
yeah. The hermetic principles of that.
Yeah, and manifestation is not just positive thinking. I think that's right. You know, something that people maybe assume it might be when they're first getting into it, but it's like we mentioned earlier, the universe doesn't deal in absolutes, right? It's not really positive or negative. It's just, it's all vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want negative things for your life, I assume, you know, some people might for some reason, subconsciously maybe they do, then you can get that.
Yeah.
But most people, I would say, generally speaking, want good, positive things.
I think that's where that worthiness, that shame, mm-hmm. and that guilt comes in, because if we're harboring that deep within us, then we're already setting ourselves up to be unworthy of what we're trying to attract.
And some negative emotions can also be kind of addictive.
I think.
Yeah. Like it could be like a pattern that you've learned, or that's been passed down. But some can, I think they've been shown that they're physically addictive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I talked about it in a previous podcast.
I think you did. Yeah.
There was a movie. I lost a friend that I called out. I was like, I think you like this kind of drama. And that was, you know, the end of our friendship because
the brain gets addicted
physiologically
to that, the dopamine or whatever.
Yeah. Something like that. Because, well, and it's also what they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I know the topics are kind of getting into also a little bit of like law of attraction. And I know that someone was kind of triggered on our Facebook about talking about law of attraction, because I think there was a lot of like misunderstandings of like a lot of other magical thinkers and like how they think about it. What would your guys' opinion be on the topic of law of attraction when it comes to things like manifestation and stuff? Because if you're saying like, well, you can manifest negativity in addition to manifesting positive things, how does that work with that?
I don't know. I guess I'm not really clear on what that person was saying.
So essentially that person was saying, if the law of attraction exists and if everything is fated or whatever, then what about babies that are born into horrible abusive situations? Did they choose that? I think that's what that person was kind of getting at.
I think that there's kind of a disconnect there, because, you know, we are all on this planet for different reasons, to enact certain experiences, to learn and gain insight and information from each other. And a lot of times the things that are happening to us, the result is may not be for us, but for the greater consciousness, but also at the same time, they may be in a result for things that we have purposefully come here to learn. So, you know, that brings us into, you know, karma and, you know, soul agreements and all those different things. So yeah, being in a state of maybe negativity and attracting more negativity, yeah, I think that is a real thing. Whether you signed up for that or not, that's
between you and creator. That's a different
thing, yeah. You know. That may be what you need. We also have a catalytic kind of environment or universe, so that may be the thing that your incarnation needs in order to manifest something great, something beautiful. You know, the tree that grows against the wind becomes the strongest, or something. You know, that there's always a reason for what you're going through, whether you see it in that moment or not. And
I think it also goes back into, and the reason why I brought this up is because I know that sometimes when we start talking about manifestation and, you know, attracting negativity, a lot of times people will start bringing up the, like, law of attraction, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about really what that is, especially when I do a lot of, like, shamanic journeying with people, where I am taking people to the seventh plane and we are looking into their contracts of what they have agreed on coming here. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that whatever you went through wasn't completely fucked up, and that yeah. other person yeah. was in the wrong,
yeah.
and that the whole scenario was just a fucked up situation and it was really shitty to go through. It doesn't discredit that. But even for people that might be very religious, they're always saying, well, God has a plan for things. And so it's interesting, because then if they talk about the law of attraction, they're like, well, how dare you say that this would be something that was agreed on? But it's like, well, until you actually look into someone's individual contracts, we don't know whether or not that was agreed on.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it could be something that was crossing your free will. Other times it's not. It just depends on the situation, but everybody's going to be very unique. And the reason why I'm bringing it up with manifestation is because of the fact that a lot of times, you know, people who are at that point of manifestation where they feel like they need to give up, or that, you know, they feel really discouraged, because we were just talking about how, like, you know, the worthiness and stuff like that. A lot of times it's clearing out old contracts. And yeah. one of the things that I had to do when I was getting trained in theta healing was to deprogram there we go my brain on how I process my relationship with money, mm-hmm. and how I process my relationship with manifestation, because I had to then travel into a past life for myself, and this isn't going to be for everybody, this is my own personal experience, but I had to travel into a past life where I took a vow of poverty. And I did that so that I would learn how to spiritually develop in a way that was helping others, as opposed to getting the most out of everything, mm-hmm. and to at the expense of other people. And that was what worked for me in that lifetime. But since I took that vow, I had never broken it. And mm-hmm. so it manifested in many lifetimes. And I had to restructure my agreements in the Akashic Records on how I process money, because it's like my manifestation of getting what I need is always going to be there, because that vow of poverty just means I get what I need and I learn how to struggle, but I will still be taken care of even in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so to then break free of it and be like, hey, can we get more than just what I need? Like,
yeah,
you know, maybe for random what if situations, so that I don't have to manifest that in that random moment. And so when it comes down to like law of attraction and understanding contracts and understanding like soul agreements, you're never going to know what those agreements are. And sometimes there's shitty situations that we cannot really fully understand till we look at the clear picture of what it is. And that's going to be very soul specific. Mm-hmm. So until you are doing the work where you are maybe going into the seventh plane and you are looking at your Akashic records and saying, where are these things coming from? And why is it manifesting this way? And working on deprogramming that from your reality so that it's no longer in existence anymore is important. Mm-hmm. And that is like a very advanced type of practice, but anyone can do it. I've done it on a lot of different types of clients. And so when it comes down to like feeling discouraged when it comes to manifestation or feeling worthy of things, we can never change like what we have went through, but we can change how we respond to things. And when yeah. we change how we respond to things, we can start becoming in alignment with what it is that we want to be in alignment with. Mm-hmm. And so it's about shifting our perspective that, yeah, okay, maybe you went through an experience where maybe you were a thief and you ripped someone off and you did something really terrible in your life. And you felt so guilty about that, that you feel like you could never truly have happiness ever again because you did this thing. But working on that part of yourself and understanding like, hey, you know, sometimes you need forgiveness as well. You need yeah. to forgive yourself, and working on that and working through that Akashic agreement of why were you learning that process, or why were you healing from that process? What was about that experience that you were trying to take that experience and turning it into alchemy, into something else different?
Yep.
And shifting that. Yeah.
It's alchemy. It's just mental alchemy.
Yeah. It's shifting that perspective. And so you hear a lot of that with like people who were like former addicts, where a lot of them struggle with self-worth. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that they were addicts, or maybe people who have worked in areas that maybe isn't really very like favorable by the communities or anything like that. And that doesn't make you any less worthy of things than anybody else. It just means that your journey of forgiving yourself and understanding and healing of it is going to be a little bit of a longer process than others. And first it's about healing.
Yeah.
And when you are trying to manifest while you're still in a healing phase, it's going to be difficult because of the fact that you need to heal from that first and take that energy and shift it into a different type of energy later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just listening to something the other day that said part of ascension is not, it's not just leveling up, it's moving the things that are blocking you. So you can try to level up all you want, but if you're not addressing the thing that's holding you back, mm-hmm. then you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we can have all these grandiose ideas of like, oh yeah, I want to be an enlightened being, or I want to become more spiritual, whatever it may be, manifest something. If there's something that's in the way, obviously you have to address that first. There's some healing or some understanding or some lesson or something that's needs to happen first. And in a way, that is part of your ascension. That is part of your manifesting. 'Cause getting rid of that thing is going to make it all that easier to achieve your goal.
It's taking the role of the active co-creator in your life and saying, okay, you know, maybe these negative things happened, or I have this block, or I have, you know, this dense energy that I've been carrying. But instead of looking at it even at that point as, okay, this is blocking me, instead in that moment you can say, I'm aware that this is here. How can I start to use this to empower me and my vision. And right there, you change the circuitry.
So often just recognition is enough to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're finding that manifestation is not working for you, like if you're trying to manifest a perfect relationship and you keep finding yourself falling into the same patterns of maybe destructive or toxic relationships, then maybe the problem is, again, how you think of yourself, you know, the things inside that you need to change. What are the stories you tell yourself?
Yeah.
What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe that you're worthy of actual real love? Like, you can make a list of your perfect partner or whatever, but still attract the same thing that you're trying to get away from because something internally is not in alignment with what you're trying to achieve. And that just goes back to, of course, shadow work, which we mention all the time.
Yeah.
Or, absolutely. You know, inner healing, like Kelly was mentioning with, mm-hmm. like advanced stuff, like going into your Akashic records or, shamanic journeying or things like that. Anything that helps you kind of reframe old patterns of thinking that aren't serving your goals.
Mm-hmm. Or, we sell manifesting journals. And I haven't looked in it, but I suspect that in there is going to be putting down a lot of things that may be holding you back that you need to address. So journaling, it's a powerful tool already, but journaling for the specific goal of manifesting something, I think would be a good place to start if you don't know where.
Yeah, and if people don't really have a vision, but they know that they are desiring or wanting something better, like I have clients that are like, what's my purpose? Sometimes a purpose doesn't have to look like I'm going to be a singer when I grow up. Sometimes it's a feeling, it's an environment, mm-hmm. it's what do you want to feel like when you wake up? What environment do you want to be around when you're at work? Do you want to work for yourself? It's about getting other details in a line, and then all the other pieces will start to come together. So you don't have to have this perfect vision of this is exactly how my business is going to look, because just like Kelly was saying, it changes, it evolves, it shifts. So adding in, well, how do I want to feel? How do I want to look? What kind of people do I want to be around? It's getting those kind of things clear that can help bring all the other pieces together for you.
Absolutely. One of the things that I did that it kind of goes back to the vision board idea thing. I mean, I'm very big on Pinterest. And so I know Anna has an obnoxious amount of my Pinterest stuff because I'm like, here's like 200 pins of like how I want to manifest this. And so Anna has experienced my Pinterest craze. But for me, that gives me like an energetic thing to start working on, where whatever it is I want to manifest, I will piece together interests that help me do that. Whether it's like if I'm planning a business where it's like, what do I want it to look like on the inside, and start putting together things of like stuff that could help me visualize what it might look like on the inside. Or if I want to start creating products, okay, well, what do I want the products to look like? What do I want to do with them? And so it helps me create that energy to keep that energy going. And once you get that energy going, it's like you just kind of hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And I find I hold on to it a lot in my Dantian, and it just kind of sits and just builds over time. And I think that's why that birthing feeling that you get.
Explain Dantian.
It is your primary energy center. And so you could feel it right in your stomach area. And so usually in like traditional Chinese medicine, when we're trying to practice Qigong, we will take energy and we'll store it in our Dantian to kind of raise the energy in our body and hold on to it. And so you can consider that a part of your solar plexus chakra.
Yeah.
So solar, it's a power.
Plexus, like sacral solar plexus area-ish.
And so around there, kind of around the navel area.
So yeah, kind of in between.
And so when I, whenever I am starting that process, I will start with that type of energetic stuff. But a lot of times, even in that that process, what I'm doing is I have to do this practice that actually helped me a long time ago in the very early stages of starting my business. And it was like this little class, this little meditation class that I took down in Sedona that someone was hosting. And she was doing one on manifestation, which was interesting because I don't think I've really had a whole lot of interest in it for a long time. I just happened to go to this class. But she was creating something that was kind of similar to a focus wheel. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with focus wheels, but it kind of looks like a sun almost. And you basically, like, you write down, like, your primary goal. Like, what do you want to achieve? So for me, it would have been, like, my business. And then you start writing down in each individual sections what your business needs. Like, what's the biggest thing? Okay, a building. What's the next thing that you need? And you start tracking things step by step from the biggest things all the way down to the littlest things you could do that would be your very first step of doing it. And you do that with every process that is needed for that manifestation. And then you just take those step by step, and breaking it down like that allows you to be able to focus a little bit more on how to do that step-by-step process. Because a lot of times people want to manifest stuff and they want to like get something going, but then they have no idea how to even get started with it. And then they easily get like kind of flustered with the whole idea, and they ended up like not even getting it started because they don't even know how to start.
Yeah.
And so that was the most helpful thing for me, because it helps you really hone in on what it is that you need to do. Because sometimes you really just need to break it down into sections and maybe even like rearrange things on like what is the most important and what needs to be done now to move on to the next part. And so doing that and just chiseling away, well, eventually you'll find that you're halfway through this list of manifesting what it is. And then when you get to that big piece, then eventually you can get there. And that would be for bigger things, like if you wanted to manifest like your dream home, or if you wanted to manifest a business, or, you know, other certain things, maybe move across the country. You know, what would be your first step? Okay, well, maybe looking at visa requirements, right? And then from there, what is your next step? Probably plane tickets, place to stay, you know. And you would just have all of this list in there on what is most important until you get to that point of physically flying down to that other country mm-hmm. and moving into the house that you manifested. And so that can be something that's very easy to start that process. And to go back on the Dantian, you have your upper, middle, and lower Dantian. So the part of the Dantian that I'm talking about that I feel the storage would be the lower Dantian. And it is, again, around the belly button area. And so that would be where I usually store the energy whenever I'm trying to manifest stuff.
I love it. And I love the, what's it called again? A vision wheel?
A focus wheel.
A focus wheel. I love that.
There's different ways to make it. I know if you look it up online, like there's like different versions of it. And how I was taught to do it was based on some book, and I don't remember what book she had mentioned, but she had mentioned a book on someone that was writing about how to successfully manifest things that you want to plan for. And because, you know, with manifestation also comes effort in certain things.
Yeah.
You can't just expect to be a millionaire and do nothing.
Yeah.
So there has to be action in addition to it. Sometimes you can manifest stuff, like little stuff here and there, but if you have a very big goal of what you want to manifest, it is important to have that embodiment, but also a plan mm-hmm. and a detailed plan as much as possible so that you can get there. But also goes back to what I was saying before, you have to be prepared to shift that plan mm-hmm. and follow the energy of what is allowing manifestation at that time.
Well, it's always going to be an energy exchange. So first there has to be an energy to exchange, and then there has to be the pathway for that energy to travel. So that can, you know, manifest in many different ways or areas or however you want to picture it or think of it. But yeah, you can't just I want to be a millionaire and have mm-hmm. it be a millionaire, that there has to be an energy put into that. And then there has to be a pathway for it to follow.
Yeah, I heard a story about Jim Carrey. When he was first starting out, he wrote himself a check for $1 million with the intention that that would come true. But he didn't just sit on his ass and, you know, hope that he won the lottery or something. Mm-hmm. He was out, you know, sure. going to auditions, going to whatever he was doing in his early days. So he had already put in motion the things that he needed to do to, mm-hmm. you know, get that going. And obviously now he's incredibly successful.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah, that's a really important thing that some people forget about. Maybe that's why it doesn't work for some people, or maybe that's why some people don't believe it works, is because you do have to put in the work.
Yeah.
And I mean, the work does start with your thoughts and your thinking, what you believe is possible, of course, but then you also have to put yourself on the trajectory of making those dreams come true, whatever that is. Like if you want to start eating healthier, for example, you know, you can't just keep doing what you're doing and eating the way you're eating if it's an unhealthy way that's not supporting you. What you can do is you can say, no, I am a person that eats healthy. You start believing it. No, I don't do that anymore. That's not something I eat anymore. Mm-hmm. Oh, I want McDonald's. Actually, no, that's not something that I even eat anymore. That's not something I crave anymore. Mm-hmm. Start thinking that, and then, you know, start putting it into place. Obviously, stop, you know, doing the things that are,
I mean, they're
not in alignment.
Yeah.
You can be, you know, putting yourself in an environment where, you know, maybe you are doing the same things, but other things are changing. I will never forget Yogananda's quote, or he was talking to someone and they were saying, well, yeah, but I like to go out with my friends. I like to go out and, you know, have a few drinks, or and I'm a social smoker. And he said, you don't, I'm not telling you, you have to stop any of that. But after a while of doing this practice, I can't promise that you'll want to do any of those things anymore.
Mm. I love that so much, because it moves you out of force into flow. And I think that's a huge part of manifesting, is not feeling that I have to force this. It's I have to quit smoking. I have to, mm-hmm. of course, well, that's the goal. But then you're putting the shame mm-hmm. on yourself, right? So that's one of my most favorite quotes of Yogananda, because it reminds us we need to be in the flow of the universe and not forcing, because forcing creates resistance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah.
And it goes back to just being willing to go with the flow and releasing control of it. That's the hardest thing when it comes to manifestation, is releasing the control of what it is you're trying to manifest. Because the more you try to control it, the harder it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the basic lesson for all of spirituality, religion, manifesting, just life in general, is to get comfortable with releasing control.
Yeah. We often get stuck on when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we think it's going to be this instant thing, but that's not often the case.
And a lot of times the things that you want to manifest doesn't necessarily mean you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Divine timing, not the ego's timing, for sure.
Because, I mean, you can manifest a lot of things at once, and if you're not ready for that, good luck.
It could be a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Been there.
And I found this really cute quote that I agree with, because it was making me think about what we were talking about. And it says, vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time, and vision with action can change the world.
Hmm.
That's by Joel Barker.
Action plus intention equals manifestation. That's what that reminds me of, is the formula that I've learned with Heka, Egyptian magic and medicine. Action plus intention equals manifestation. So
yeah,
I love that quote.
Because I remember just hearing a lot of like people who talk about how, like, you know, they didn't get this, or they didn't manifest that, or, you know, they tried to do something and it just never came about. And it's like, well, but did you really try or did you just expect it? Because a lot of times people want to manifest things, but the actual effort that goes into trying to manifest it is completely different. And so you get that a lot with people who think that they can, you know, start a company. But then when it comes down to doing the work, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. Or, oh, this is too much work. I don't want to do marketing. I don't want to do this. And it's like, you have to. If you're starting out and you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to take those baby steps. And you have to put in that effort. Because if you do that, then the energy is going to come back as, I don't want to give you the money.
Yeah, totally. Bingo.
So you have to be able to make that action to manifest it, because without it, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's important to change your attitude.
It's true. I hate social media, but it's a necessary evil if you're trying to get something going. Maybe, depending on what you're doing.
Why do you hate it?
Because I did it so much.
Too people-y.
Okay, so it was because it was oversaturated in your life. And so you're like, I fixated, like what I do with food is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
the wing right. bar at Safeway. Oh my God. You know, I fixate on that and now I'm sick of it.
Well, and you know, when I did it for a livelihood, I did really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the platforms, though, I feel have really let my expectations of what I felt like the way things were going, where things were going. And it looks, if you're trying to be like a professional user or influencer or whatever, I feel like those avenues that I watched change have just not gone the way that I would have wished they would have. And it's really frustrating. So it's really hard for me to get.
So let's manifest a new one.
Yeah, totally. No, and I'm I guess I'm waiting for it, but yeah. I hope something does come about that is more user-friendly in the way that I would hope. Almost the way that it used to be. And I feel like a lot of those permissions and a lot of those avenues have been taken away. And so, yeah, let's manifest a new one.
Cool.
Anyone else have any tips or experiences or anything?
Oh, I did want to say, when we think about law of attraction, a lot of people think, or they get stuck with, you know, opposites attract. And I that's, in some cases that is true, but it's not for manifestation. Opposites aren't really the attractors. It's like attracts like. And I think opposites attract is more like opposites are, I don't know, the universal, and like attracts like is the attraction. I don't know.
I don't know. I think when it comes to that, like, that's a little bit of a complicated thing, because
yeah.
I think people are thinking more on like a personality type of way of like opposite personalities attract. But on an energetic level, there's usually like a frequency that is matching that other person.
Yeah.
So even if their personalities aren't aligning, doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't some type of vibration that is allowing them to harmonize together, that maybe they needed that polar opposite of their personality to help them with whatever it is that they needed. Because, you know, it kind of goes off into like subjects of like people who are too similar. Would you really want to date yourself?
Yeah.
You know, absolutely not. we would be napping way too much.
We'd never get anything done.
Nothing will ever get done. We'll eat way too much.
We would both be singing to our cat endlessly.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
And then eventually living in your car. Because all you do is sing to your cat.
So I think that is just kind of like a misunderstanding with that, because there has to be like a harmony and vibration for things like that to happen. So I think when you're thinking of like the concept of manifestation, becoming that vibration to attract that manifestation. So if you are in the vibration of lack, it's going to harmonize with the vibration of lack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you are in the vibration of abundance, you're going to be attracting that as well. It's just you have to be very specific on abundance. That could be an abundance of cats. Like, you know.
Which we had for a little while.
So I think it just depends. And the abundance of cat was a joke for anyone that didn't catch that. But, okay, maybe a little bit of a joke. Emily's giving me a look. But yeah, so I think it just depends. And that's where I think you need to be mindful of it. And it goes back to what Anna was saying earlier on the manifestation of relationships, on whatever part of you that maybe doesn't feel worthy of a good relationship, or maybe you're in an abusive relationship and you want to manifest a relationship that harmonizes with you, and somehow you're finding yourself over and over again getting into those abusive relationships, more so than working on like what it is in you that is still harmonizing with the people in this vibration. What part of you, maybe it's not necessarily that like you feel like you deserve it or anything like that, because nobody deserves that type of treatment or anything like that, but more so like maybe there might be a part of you that is accepting these behaviors and overlooking these red flags before they turn into bigger red flags. Mm-hmm. And how is it, like, it might be just overly loving and willing to overlook people's flaws and ignoring a giant red flag in your face because of the fact that you want to hold on to possibly their potential as opposed to what they really are. And healing that part of yourself and understanding, like, you know, maybe that it's not necessarily that you're attracting assholes because there's something about you that you feel is unlovable, but more so like maybe it's you're too loving and that you need to guard your heart a little bit better and be a little bit more discerning with the type of people that you are manifesting in your life. Mm-hmm. So that you can come into the vibration of finding another person that possibly also has that vibration too and has worked on it, so you guys can harmonize with it.
Mm-hmm. Shift that love that you're giving to yourself.
Yeah.
And love yourself.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times people pour a lot into other people's cups and they forget that they have a cup they need to fill too.
Yeah.
It should always be overflowing, not coming from a place of lack.
Well, and that leads into, you know, self-betrayal is people-pleasing. People-pleasing is self-betrayal, and, you know, putting others before you is a form of, because you want to make sure everybody's happy. You want to make sure everybody's comfortable, right? You don't want to rock the boat. Well, that's not love. That's manipulation.
Yeah.
So when you fill your cup first, you can give from your fullness, which is the fullness of your love, not this half-ass energy, because you're just afraid to make others uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think about that in the terms of manifestation as well, like if we're putting out there all of this energy thinking that that energy is going to give us back things, but we're doing it from a place of lack, that's not manifesting.
Yeah.
Mm. And so we just have to be careful with that.
Yeah. Surrendering your power is not the same as surrendering to the power.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I know, like, early on when I started recognizing that my marriage was going to end up in divorce, one of the first things that I did was, what is it about me that I'm holding on to that needs to be healed because of the fact that I am accepting things less than what I deserve? and then focusing on healing that part, but then working on manifesting a partner that could be my highest potential partner and how to make that in alignment. I did a lot of work in my Akashic records and started clearing out things. I could see all these timelines popping up where I was like, nope, don't want that, and just start cutting out all these timelines that wasn't going to work for me, and eventually put myself in alignment of the highest potential partner and started visualizing what that was. And I know a lot of times people, you know, they'll have like their expectation list of what type of partner they want, but the most important thing is, one, be that partner. Mm-hmm. You have to be the partner you want to manifest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because without that, it goes back to that place of lack. Yeah. You can't find someone to heal a certain part of yourself if you are not actively healing that part of yourself within yourself.
Yeah.
And so that is the most important part. And then in addition to that, then asking for those qualities so that you can start to manifest it. And it's bringing that energy within yourself so that it's healing yourself and it's starting to harmonize and attract the highest potential partner you can have. Mm-hmm. So that it isn't going through these loops of karmic patterns where you're repeating a lot of like shadow work stuff.
Well, and
it's powerful
with relationships. Emily and I used to always tell people that, you know, you'll find the right person when you're not looking for them. But in that we mean when you've befriended yourself.
Yeah.
When you've become okay with being alone with you, that's when you attract the person who complements that energy.
Yeah.
I think because a lot of people tend to focus on relationships as a way of having that partner heal them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So many times people get addicted to that feeling of love, because that love is what they're lacking within themselves. And so they constantly are just looking for it in the other person, not realizing that it's really subconsciously them seeking it within themselves. And so self-work is very important when it comes to that manifestation, because there's a lot of that that needs to be healed on. And you could see that in so many different relationships that, you know, it's hard. And it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, once you get to that level where you're okay with being with yourself and you feel comfortable in your own skin and you feel worthy of love, that a relationship's just going to be easy peasy.
No way.
Absolutely not. That just means that you are not depleted in the relationship where you are relying on your partner for that love and happiness.
Yeah.
That you can have it on your own and that they complement it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Me too. The reciprocity of give mm-hmm. in that the energetic exchange of, you know, even when, because it's inevitable that wounds are going to surface and resurface sometimes over and over and over. But if we can sit with our partner and have awareness of tools, okay, well, discussing the solution, it's you and your partner against the problem, not you and your partner against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your combined love, the self-love of yourselves that you're sharing with each other. It's like unstoppable and co-creating and manifesting.
Absolutely.
Because it's not about, oh, you know, they're a perfect couple or they're a perfect marriage. It's the perfect marriage in my eyes is the ability to walk through the shadows and the darkness and kind of walk through like a museum and say, hey, look at that part. You remember that part? See how much we've grown, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I think we've touched on a lot of topics tonight. Did anyone want to add anything else to?
I think the only thing I would want to add is, if you're brand new at manifesting, years ago, a fellow psychic taught me, just start with manifesting your perfect parking spot.
I love that. Yes.
Just start there. Or, you know, like you're about to leave your house and you're going to this place and parking's always a fucking mess. So before you leave your house, say thank you for that perfect parking spot, visualize it, and practice that. Start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Seems silly, but once it starts to happen over and over and over, you start to build this sense of, wow, I am a powerful co-creator. And then start
confidence,
bigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then go bigger, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. That's a nice little test.
Yeah.
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 I like that.
Because I think it's important to believe that you're manifesting it.
Yeah.
Well, and not to get discouraged if it doesn't go the way you expect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just try again.
Delays,
oftentimes
detours.
The universe, yeah, well, yeah. Try to think of it as that you didn't manifest it, but that you were being protected from something.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for everyone for listening, and yeah, have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.